Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. This is Peripheral Visions by Antonia Bat. We are broadcasting out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. This is the 1,295th episode. The telephone number to listen is 323-870-4174, and please press the 1 and the hashtag to talk to the host. To listen on the internet, please type in www.blogtalkradio.com and type in Peripheral Visions by Antonia Bat. Select either live shows or title. And not only that, you can also hear the previous shows by making the selections at those bars, like live shows or title. Tonight's show is titled Coronavirus Still Surging at Almost 200,000 People Who Have Died Here in the United States Alone, of course. Unfortunately, it had shut down a major university last weekend and have definitely record numbers of victims who are definitely been taken out across the world as well, which is very sad because it is not just surging here the United States, but it is surging elsewhere across the world, period. Poor Brazil, they're catching it. North Korea, at one point, they weren't divulging that they've had several cases of it, but they do now. So that ought to tell you something. Now, again, good evening, everyone. There are definitely constant broadcasts, definitely about the plea for people to not exchange and encourage social gatherings, especially in large or even small groups. During this holiday weekend of Labor Day a few weeks ago, many people will listen and many more even will not. But that has been going on for a while. They were told not to get together during spring break back in March, and they paid for it, speaking of the students and whoever else that was basically unaware that this is a serious subject matter. To say a hard head makes a soft behind. Well, it doesn't even take a holiday for groups to gather together, of course, not to even take heed to a warning that has been going on for several months now. It was said that the gathering of indoor groups with tables, they would have to be 6 feet apart, and the whole restaurant would only be able to allow 25% of the restaurant's visitors to be able to use the space to sit down at. And this is during the time that they were trying to decide on how they were going to do this. At one time, they said, no, none at all. Just so determined to have their way, that was the best they could do for them. because of the massive amount of people that are dying. So they ask you to please, when you enter the establishments, still wear your face mask and practice social distancing. They can't control you outside, they know it, and they're not worried about that, but they do want to make sure they keep the places safe as well as for the customers and for the workers. So, anyway, about a week or so ago at Temple University in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the United States of America, on September the 6th, the year 2020. It was definitely a report that followed up another report after trying to find out when the students come back to school, how are they going to work this matter out about being able to attend classes if they allow them to. Well, they did at least give them an alternative to go to online courses. Some had thought that they would go to both online courses and sit in class as well for other courses. There are about 100 students upon arrival who were being checked for the testing of the coronavirus came about. There was an issue about they're going to have to do something differently. Less than a week later, there were 350 students who were tested with coronavirus. At that point, they decided to close down the whole college. Now, I don't know if it's about at that campus in the central part of Philadelphia or the North Central, as they call it, but they have a population, if I'm not mistaken, about 600,000 students enrolled at Temple, considering they do have other campuses all over in different, vicinities, and some even across the world. But it had to be mandatory because they saw that the numbers were climbing in record numbers for people who are coming to the school. I'm assuming only after the vacation they just came off of, and they could not take a chance on filling up the hospitals, not doing what's right on behalf of students. Even some of the students were concerned about the community of people who are residents who've lived around here for years. So considering that, Temple University said not only would it shut down the in-person classes, that we're going to do it for only 2 weeks, but similar to another college, as well as others that followed, which is the University of Notre Dame, who definitely announced earlier this month that cases have spiked over there, even larger numbers than what Temple University had. So that's when they had to take matters into their own hands at Temple. It was also mentioned that the cases of coronavirus, of course, appear to be linked to email social gatherings. Let's say, for example, one party contact another. The next thing you know, they're all joining up together. And a lot of them were off campus. Some were on campus. So Engel, one of the school administrators, said that the city health on Saturday warned students to avoid social contact with people outside of their homes or apartments, hoping that they could control it. But unfortunately, those young adults, they didn't exactly comply, a lot of them. Some might have, but not enough people to convince them to keep the school open. So they had people to vacate the dormitories. They allowed them to do the classes online. I don't know what became of the people that lived in the apartments outside of the school's dormitory area, but that's a chance they were taking if they choose to stay there with a roommate, hoping that they will comply with the sanitation that's suggested, you know, the routine thing, you know, the sanitizer, the Lysol, the bleach, the, you know, the face mask, and whatever else that could help them. As a matter of fact, there was another representative of school said, who said, most of these students test positive. They're what they call asymptomatic. Asymptomatic, everyone, is, for those who are not familiar with it, when a person doesn't show signs of having the virus, but they had other indications to actually divulge that they do have it. A small number have definitely mild to moderate flu-like symptoms amongst the students. And that's what the representative named Englert said. So Temple became the second largest university about that time, a week and a half ago, in Pennsylvania to shift course in the last week. So you know that had left a great impact. The newspaper called the Inquirer said, despite urging by family, by faculty union leaders, and the school's student government association to keep all of the classes online, Temple moved forward with the plan and started the semester with a mix of the in-person classes and the actual, what they refer to as the remote classes, which are the online classes. And they considered it a hybrid, H-Y-B-R-I-D. But it was not business as usual. About 8,900 students who were on campus at the time for the first day of class, about a third of the normal number for opening day of Temple enrollees. They had about 39,000 students. One student definitely had online classes and one sit-down class out of all the other classes he had. But he didn't want to risk being there. So his family, who drove all the way from Texas for him to start his first day of school, however it was, went all the way back to Dallas, Texas. He said, some are worried that the infection rates mounting on campus could endanger the surrounding community also, which was very thoughtful. And somebody had obviously displayed a sign saying, stop putting North Philly residents in harm for once in life. That's what the student wrote on social media. They quoted, this is so sad and stupid. I'm embarrassed that this is going to be my alma mater. Well, since then, August the 31st, the newspaper reported the Inquirer, as of September the 6th. A few days later, it was said that the infection rate went up to 350-plus students and that they were tested and the on-campus living quarters were closed. And all classes will have to go online from now. Well, we still think about the anticipated date for the coronavirus, there will be a cure. Well, no one still knows yet. It is publicly called a race for the cure. So there's a question that arose, and it was, is COVID-19 going away? Well, August the 6th, 2020, www.advisory.com reported, as new coronavirus cases continue to climb in America, health experts say it's becoming clear that the virus known as SARS, that is capital S, capital A, capital R, capital S dash capital C small O capital V dash 2, that SARS dash COVID dash 2 is here to stay. But experts say that between emerging treatments, global pandemic. That don't mean that they have a cure. It just means they have something that'll hold it off for now until they hopefully somewhere down the line come across a cure. Well, according to CDC.gov, that is www.cdc.gov, on March the 11th, 2020, the coronavirus disease called COVID-19, it was declared a pandemic by the World Health Organization, abbreviated the WHO, that a national emergency was declared. It was declared in the United States concerning the COVID-19 outbreak as of officially March the 18th, 2020. I recall that particular day because it was approximately 1.5 weeks following International Women's Day, which was celebrated at the Red Cross here in Philadelphia. And it was always, you know, just business as usual within the city, and definitely during that event, no one had an inkling of anything that was going on. And what get me is it was pretty much participated by city persons who were essential personnel, like police officers, and a good nature of inviting even civilians like ourselves. It turned out very well, but not unexpectedly, this is the result of following all of this, which led to the panic about COVID-19. And they said as of June the 30th, they also stated these are the symptoms. They said it's fatigue, headache, muscle aches, abbreviated as myalgia, M-Y-A, LGIA, and they are also amongst the most common reported symptoms, which in people who are not hospitalized, which included also sometimes sore throat and nasal congestion or runny nose called rhinorrhea. That's rhinorrhea with two R's in the second half. They said they also may be prominent symptoms. Now, before those reports were suggested by other authorities, that was presumably, you know, just typical symptoms on an average day, eventually it seemed as though the addition of a few other items were just something else that you could look in the, not only the cough, but the other symptom, the fatigue and the headaches. Well, they refer to it as fever more so. But then again, eventually you find out about muscle aches and the running nose and things like that. And they said that when in the clinics and other medical facilities where the workers are, when you have to enter the building, they will constantly check you with a temperature gauge. It is definitely the initial test that you get in most places. Now, some places like to test you even further, so as though you would like to know the record of what's going on, or if they think it may be absolutely necessary, with a long Q-tip, a long piece of wood with cotton attached to it in a swirl, and place it up your nostril and test you then. And the results are available within a few days later, which upset some people because they didn't understand why they couldn't get the results the very same day in case they anticipated getting worse or not wanting to take it back to someone or some other person. It was assumed, speaking of cures, it was assumed that hydrochloroquine might be a possible cure. No hydroxychloroquine sulfate was not a cure, and some versions of chlorotene sulfate or phosphate. They said chloroquine phosphate, they are FDA, which stands for Federal Drug Administration. They were approved to mostly treat COVID-19 people at first, but they found out it's more so for people who have malaria. Hydroxychloroquine sulfate is also FDA approved to treat lupus and rheumatoid arthritis. Well, you know, maybe other things, but it didn't have COVID-19 on the list. And this was according to the www.fda.gov people, coronavirus diseases. And as of May the 8th, they said most people with COVID-19 had mild illness and they can recover at home without medical care. They say if you do choose to do that, do not leave your home. You should be at that point quarantined strictly and bound to home, especially if you have a limited amount of space and, you know, try not to use any of the facilities that the other family members who have not been found to have COVID-19 use, if you can. If you do, take excessive necessary precautions. And if you're excessively bad off, then there will be an issue. You would probably go through the medical worker at the hospital who can guide your caretaker, or hopefully you yourself can take care of yourself until there may be recovery. If not, then we know the actual end result, unfortunately. They say do not visit public areas. Don't think that you can go to the store. Don't think that you can go to the corner and say hello to a relative or a friend. Don't even try to sit out on your steps if you can possibly do that. They said, we all should know that you should not put other family members in jeopardy in the home as well. Some people, you will find that some of the children may have it, all of the children, and maybe not the wife. And yourself, to anyone, and they should take precautions by suiting up, so to speak, having the rubber gloves, the coverings, and consistently washing out clothes that need to be washed if possible, you know, hanging them up to dry in order to avoid any transmission, of course. The reason I repeat this information to you, some people, they are not familiar with how all of this works. And when you're not familiar, unfortunately, this is why we have so many deaths. And sometimes, if not, a lot of human suffering. So it's important. Sometimes we can make sure everyone knows that these are necessary items to follow through with. And, of course, let's not forget to mask. You know, wear a mask. But there was another source about CDC, which is abbreviated for Center for Disease Control, based out of Atlanta, Georgia. And they will definitely be available for other things regarding their research and their containment of certain diseases and infectious other products. But they were asked this particular question. When should I seek emergency medical care if I am sick with COVID-19? Some people don't understand COVID-19 and coronavirus and pandemic are interchangeable. Well, here's the answer. If someone is showing any of these signs, seek emergency medical care immediately. And these are symptoms to look for. Trouble breathing. If they have consistent trouble of breathing, the person who's a victim of COVID-19, if you have persistent pain or pressure in the chest, and if someone has new confusion, like they're confused about what's happening around them, and they're shaking their head maybe, or they're saying, I don't understand, and they're, you know, constantly labored in their, the way they breathe or whatever. So it would be good to just let them sit down. You don't touch them if you can. And here's another symptom. If they have the inability to wake or stay awake, they're constantly drifting off to sleep, then that may be an indication there's something going on. And if they have bluish lips or face, bluish lips is the color blue. Of course, we know that. But that may be an indication that anything could be going on related to the COVID-19, possibly. Well, it is even asked, is the medicine called Remdesivir approved as a treatment for COVID-19? Now, we're talking, everybody, about treatments, not Remdesivir. It is spelled R-E-M-D-E-S-I-V-I-R. Well, there are currently no FDA-approved products available to treat COVID-19, as I said, but Remdesivir has not been able to totally treat COVID-19, but it had definitely been reviewed to be approved by the Federal Drug Administration, a government agency, in order to be used to aid in the treatment. But, however, the FDA, it has approved what they call an emergency use authorization in severe instances. It can be used on adults and children. Definitely, if they're hospitalized with severe COVID-19, in order to receive the Remdesivir, and that was approved back in June the 15th, 2020. Now, however, according to the head honcho above the medical people in Washington that a lot of people are not aware of, his name is Kupla, and he says that tens of thousands of Americans would be alive today if the White House didn't mix the mass distribution plan, which would have reportedly sent the mask to every household. So, in other words, it was reported that news had quoted CNN when they said that the chief medical correspondent, Dr. Sanjay Gupta, raised the eyebrows on Friday over his reporting, citing a source. In other words, for those citing, in other words, for those who aren't familiar with that, quoting a source, who said that 80 to 90% of the nearly 200,000 coronavirus deaths in the United States could have been saved by the Trump administration if it implemented a new uncovered mask distribution. Obviously, somebody donated that many. It was a plan that was apparently scrapped. Oh, so it could have been suggested that those would be distributed to people's houses, and we would have stopped some of the coronavirus from spreading. But somebody had unauthorized it. They didn't approve it. And as a result, Dr. Gupta, who's definitely a very big person in the field of medicine over the medical situation involving COVID-19 and many other things, of course, he said that we really had a bad time trying to save lives, because at least the majority of us would have had not seen or heard of the deaths that occurred. So then, the Washington Post, they reported about a document from the United States Postal Service saying that it was taken up with a partnership with the White House to be million masks to Americans nationwide back in April, which definitely was not done. One administration official reportedly told the Washington Post there were concerns from some in the White House through their domestic policy council and the office of the vice president that households receiving masks might create a concern or a panic. Well, the panic is here anyway, and it caused a lot of conflict, especially amongst those who had small businesses who wanted to open back up. And I'm quite sure about some of the civilian people like ourselves. So considering that, that's the result of what's going on at this time. And we're hoping that that 200,000 mark, which was told may occur, of people would have died here in the United States or anywhere, really. I'm sure there's a massive amount of numbers across the world we're just not familiar with. So, according to WHYY, there was an issue about unemployment fraud. WHYY is a station that sometimes lets you hear some of the forums that are conducted within the city when they have people to come to the studio or do it through Zoom. And the title of this particular topic was Washington State was hit hard by unemployment fraud back in May of the 22nd of 2020. And there was an individual that was on the microphone being interviewed named Martin Cass, and he said, turns out that somebody was impersonating university faculty members using their names and social security numbers to apply for unemployment benefits. And the other person named Javon West said that his ID was being misused and it was done in the same way also. He was a faculty, it appeared. And they said, because of that, you know, they want to come up with a solution because it's been going on massively, especially since the stimulus checks were being given out and the unemployment checks were being distributed and the businesses were, in fact, even their money was being compromised. So considering that, they said that a woman named Susan Levine, she asked, how do we balance getting the money back? Or definitely will clamp down in order to keep out the criminals and the fraudsters. Well, the first individual, he said, well, cyber crimes. They have gangs of people amongst the cyber crimes, and it is always like that when the governments are in a hurry to just disperse, in other words, give out the money without thinking, without using proper monitoring techniques and making sure that people wouldn't be able to get things easily, your identification information and things of that nature. It's not that the government didn't mean well, but they did not have the right people in place in order to make sure those things can occur, that it was distributed properly, or it wasn't distributed just in a way that anybody could compromise your information. So they said now there are trillions of dollars, not billions, you heard the truth, but trillions of dollars that are in and out, coming back and forth through Congress, money in, money out, and vice versa. And it's just constantly being taken away from the United States people and whoever else because of these cyber hackers and other people who do things that are definitely compromising what somebody had pretty much deserved. So the experts think that the gangs are filling out those claim forms the claim forms that, you know, the people here have by drawing through what they call a lot of personal information they collect. That's why, you know, a lot of people here have a problem with other countries interfering with our political system. Rightfully so, because, you know, when it gets extreme, this is what happens. And they said that this has been going on for years. And then they said, for example, the credit card company called Equifax, they said in the year 2017, theft resources, there's a person named Eva Velasquez, who's the CEO of the Identity Theft Resource Center. It is a nonprofit that helps the victims. It also tracks data breaches. In other words, they're like a watch, as they refer to, a watchdog organization, because they know that there are people out there taking people, things from people, especially people who can't afford anything and don't have the knowledge on how to identify what is going on out there. Well, the guy named West, he said to resolve to do more of it, to get the people from being able to do that, and to alert the public to the COVID-19 scams, and in other words, the coronavirus hackers. And they're going to get on top of it, and he's sworn to take care of that damage, what those have done. And they want to do it to the best of his ability to figure out what is real and unreal, as he refers to it as. So there are people out there who have been compromised, and they're determined that they are not going to put up with that anymore. And because of that, you'd be surprised who definitely want to participate through that agency by Eva to make sure that people won't be victimized, especially people who don't have anything, because they have everything to lose. Nobody deserves it, period, but especially them. And they said that the crooks are focusing on the unemployment departments in order to obtain that information. And I can believe it. I have actually had people to call and pretend that they're calling from the Social Security Administration office and, you know, came up with all types of bogus crap. And I've asked, and so they'll ask you, what bank do you bank at? I suggest you tell them nothing. Don't let them take you off point and have you believe that life starts and stops with them. Just tell them that you're going to go to the Social Security office tomorrow to make sure that they're legitimate. And at that point, you'd like to have their name. I guarantee you they'll hang up on you. And considering that, that's one way to handle that matter. Caller ID won't divulge everybody's information when it comes to over the caller ID system, where you can look and see what their number is, because they're going to call. You never know. It could be an inside job with some people. They may be calling from the office, and this is a good way to turn around and do what they do. But a lot of times they said it's coming from Western Liberia. That's where the biggest set of gangs are coming out of. They do it through the emails, tell people a good sob story, and they don't know you from nowhere. And they will definitely try to get your bank number, tell you that they will give you such and such amount of money once they get the money, and come with some type of odd exchange. And that's the old way of doing it, but it works effectively still to this day, obviously. So you may not want to share anything with you. And any doctor's office or whoever ever asks you over the telephone, especially, or the internet, for you to give your Social Security number, they may not be guilty, but that should be considered non-legitimate. There are other ways you can do it. You can fax it to the facsimile machine or go to the post office and find out who, maybe FedEx or Staples office next. And they will gladly fax something for a small fee, thank goodness. You can write a letter and give it to them to give the information to it, to that source, because truthfully, they know that you're taking a chance, but you never know, the clerk may not be as efficient as they should be and definitely may not be as responsible as they should be. You know, I've seen going into offices sometimes people's personal information sitting on a desk, even if the person working on it have to fulfill the rest of the information in the paperwork or file or whatever, they should always try to turn the paper face down. And if it's yours and you see somebody coming in, just say, could you turn that down? And if they say, oh, well, it'll be okay. No, just say, I would appreciate it if you turn it down. And that way they'll show that if they participate with you, they're doing their job correctly. So there are quite a few ways people out there stealing your checks. And so if you ever, you know, come across a situation that's not legitimate, please be ready to report it to whatever agency, Better Business Bureau, whoever. Now, I should also mention there are coincidentally situations besides those that occur out here that are not easy to talk about. It's about the police versus the citizens and vice versa. Unfortunately, you have good people and you have bad people. Preferably, I like to deal with the good people. But there are, you know, some people who they may take a job, you're supposed to, and that's putting it mildly. I have a healthy respect for the police department, but I also know once in a rare blue moon, some people abuse not only their authority, but their ability to act like civilized persons should. And as a result, I've seen an individual, it was a young man who happened to be white in this particular case. Most of the time, disproportionately, they say, you know, there are minorities who are mostly African-American, Latino, who are victim of this. Well, he was traced down in the soil on the side of the partition that he was, you know, walking back and forth, pacing back and forth in the hospital environment. He had his shirt off, and somebody called it in. You know, some people can panic for no reason at all. I'm the type, well, he's not bothering anybody. He's not approaching anybody to do anything. He was upset because he lost his job to COVID-19. He has two young children, and it really bothered him. As a result, when the police came on upon him, you know, they were sort of a somewhat younger set of officers. It was understood that excessive force was a great big issue. He was face down. Somebody was recording. His head was in the dirt, and he asked to be let up because he couldn't breathe. He was overweight, very much overweight, and his arms were being posted behind his back to have, you know, the attachment of the handcuffs. And a particular individual just sort of manhandled him and didn't even respect the fact that the fellow was telling him he can't breathe. He tried to, you know, turn his head to the side to breathe. And they showed it on television, so it isn't me making this up. Eventually, after they struggled long and hard to get the handcuffs on him, he turned his face to the side. And he was like purplish or bluish in the face, and the officer, you know, said, I think he's dead. As a result, I'm quite sure it's not going to be easy for him to deal with it, but the children, they're without their father. He's without a job, of course. He was 29, and I just thought it was sad for anybody to have to go through that. but, you know, let it be understood we're not just vying for just one group of people to be acknowledged. We're going to acknowledge the fact that it's said that everybody can't be legitimate police officers. So it's an unfortunate situation. I'm sure it's going to be dealt with. And I say God bless him and God bless his children. He didn't appear to have family members that could be responsible for the children. So, you know, I'm sure he with him pacing the way he did, he was so discombobulated because of thinking that that's his last choice. There are jobs out there. I see them being advertised consistently, but some people don't know about how to go the jobs and get the proper help. They need agencies within the cities on how people can fill out the applications with assistance. Because some people say, well, just go online and dismiss them. And a lot of people, they really do not know how to fill them out. And as a result, you don't need me to tell you anymore. It's just the result of that situation. And with that being said, I'm going to ask Brother Rob Hudson. Rob, I guess his wife, at least, she has a special privilege of referring to his pop-pop because that's the love of her life, Hudson, to come on board with his debonair self. And I'm glad he's here because he's going to bring the call of salvation to us. Thank you. How are you, Brother Rob? Yes.
I'm doing great, and I'm enjoying tonight's information that's been brought forth. And it is special that we get a chance to, God says, in his words, that we all die for lack of knowledge, and it's sometimes that we have to actually make sure that we actually study things around us and actually seek out knowledge. And when we don't do that, that's where, we tend to die off, not only as people, but as Christians. And as, people that should be knowledgeable what goes on in our world, what goes on. And when we don't be knowledgeable, that's when we tend to die off, And, you often want to say, well, what happened to these people or that person? And sometimes it's just for a lack of knowledge where they just, tend to just not exist anymore. But, one thing I can tell you that if you want to continue to exist in this world, is that you do need the ever-loving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And it is available to you. And one thing I can tell you is that if you are, a person that wants to seek out everlasting life, it is here. It is here. And one way you can do that is, and this is for people that are saved, that are not saved. If you're not saved, I understand because I've been in that position before. And if you are saved, your faith has just, dissipated. It seems to disappear in thin air because you've been listening to rhetoric and nonsense. But one of the things you can do is you can rededicate yourself. And you can say to yourself, Father God, I thank you. I am a sinner, and I wish to repent my ways of sin. And what I want to do is I want to make sure and I acknowledge that I know that you sent your only son, your only begotten son in this world to die for my sins. By doing that, you absolve me of my sins. You recognize me as someone, as a newborn child, someone that has re-entered this world as a new. And I wish to be a new. And only through you, I'm able to do that. And I thank you so much. And I accept your gift of you sacrificing your son to die on the cross. And I just renew myself. I replenish myself. And I wish to start anew. And once you said that, or any way, or any words that you have, you're saved. You have to just commit it with your tongue and just say, God, thank you so much. And once you say that, and once you do that, just make sure you just let someone know. Just say, hey, Father God, or hey, Mom, I just want to let you know, or dad, I want you to let you know, or hey, sister, brother, let me tell you what just happened to me. I just rededicated my life, or I just dedicated my life to Christ. And through here and here on out, I am a new creature. And once you say that, you know, this is something that, you know, I truly think that you have to earnestly do, because in this time of the COVID crisis where we don't have a physical sanctuary, I ask you to seek out a sanctuary, a Bible-believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary that will nurture you in the Word of Christ. And if you can't find it, you know, we're here. You know, I know they have sanctuaries almost everywhere. They have Zoom, they have Facebook Live, and they have all other avenues. But, you know, if you can't find that church sanctuary, you know, come here to Purpose Kingdom Network, where we broadcast almost every night with a night of ministry, where you can just, you know, relish in the saving salvation of Jesus Christ. You know, we thank you so much. And with that being said, I'm going to really quickly go into the announcements. And just let you know that we're part of Purpose Kingdom Network. And that anytime you want to contact us, you can contact us via email at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. You can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can just simply say hello or just let us know that you turn your life over to Christ, and we greatly appreciate that. We're also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns, and likewise. Anytime you want to hear any of our past previous broadcasts or just listen to our live broadcast, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. You can simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. And we thank you so much. God's blessing. We hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9:10 hour for Life Without Limits with Pastor Jermon Johnson. And once again, with, you know, God's will, God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Life Without Limits, hosted by Pastor Jermon Johnson. I know some of our listeners are frustrated. You know, call in on our 319-527-6091 number, where you constantly get the message that, you know, you'd be charged 1 cent a minute. And we don't have our alternative number, 323 number, 870-4174 number available. But if you want an option where you can hear us without being charged, you can go to the Google Play or the Apple Store, where you can download an app called Talkatone. When you download that app allows you to make phone calls free of charge. And the download is free. And all you have to do is just basically just, you know, through your phone information, just transfer that to that app, and you're allowed to make phone calls free via internet. And so once again, that app is called Talkatone. You can download that, and it will allow you to call anywhere in the United States free of charge. Okay, and that is just an option we have for our listeners. And we just thank you, no matter where you are in the world, listen to us. We just thank you, and we just hope you continue to listen to and support us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We thank you so much for the online listeners, because, you know, you are everywhere in the world. And we thank you. We're united no matter where we are. And thank you so much for your support and your listenership, and we're going to turn the show back over to Sister Antoinette.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Brother Rob, and amen to all that wonderful information and that beautiful prayer, because prayer don't do anything, but it takes, I can tell you personally, for me it does. And if you would like to partake of prayer, come right here to PKN, Purpose Kingdom Network, and we have all the prayer that you can get for the help. Revive your spirit and just soothe your soul, and let it be understood that God always will love you, no matter whatever anybody else out there giving the impression that you're not capable of getting from them. God will take care of that, and he'll definitely embrace you in ways you just don't know. You may not see it all the time, but it does occur. I'm a witness. Yes, so I just wanted to mention about the vice versa situation. There were two police officers sitting in a patrol car, minding their business, and all of a sudden, a criminal came up, and it was presumed that they're not that tall, been discovered yet that I know of, that they've caught a suspect in the shooting of these two officers several times. He shot into their faces. If that's not the work of God, tell me what it is. Of course they were on the critical critical list, you know, and definitely had to receive extensive care over a matter of a good period of time. And nobody can see anybody coming up on them at the last minute unannounced crime they're going to commit. But, you know, it's bad. It's bad to hollow out Black Lives Matter or anybody's lives matter and then sit there and not tell the truth. We got criminal-minded people out there, too. People who are normally known to fly under the radar, as the saying goes. Put yourself in the position of the officer. They may have been the good officers, and you just don't know. Some of them, I've seen them extend themselves to the community. And then to have something like that, an animalistic type person to come up there to destroy what may have been the good officers. Believe me, you can easily tell who's good and who isn't in a case such as that. Hopefully they'll find that person, because if they'll do that to the officers, if they're animalistic enough, who's to say they won't do it to somebody out here in the community, anybody's community? We don't want to give them the impression that they're supposed to get away with anything, that they don't care about other people's lives. You know, if you would like to see the police definitely be treated like the civilians in the instances, you don't make targets out of people because you just think you're so swift and so stealthy that you can get away with it and they can't. Like my mother used to say, two wrongs don't make a right. So with that being said, I just want to bring that forth. Now it's the fall season. It's getting nippy out here. Some people are wearing jackets. Some people are wearing heavy sweaters. Some people are wearing coats. And I will say this much. Do look at the weather report if you can, or at least hear from another source how it may be, so you won't get sick, so people don't think you have a COVID versus just a mere cold, you know, and just so you won't get sick, period, because flu season is coming up. We don't want to have a combination of the flu and then people think we have the virus, or we may have both as a result of not knowing what's going on. We don't want that to happen. We can definitely do indoor things. Say, for example, I know we can't go to the restaurants as much when it gets very cold, but we could sit out at a cafe if we would like to have a little date or just a little social with the girls, whatever, dress properly and have hot chocolate out there, hot tea, hot coffee with the special cream. We can dine out there because now, because of social distancing, if we're not allowed to dine because of the low capacity of people or the hold, we could go inside of the place. Sit outside of the place with chairs and tables that are provided. We can sit along through the ledges of concrete walls that were built for looking at the lovely foliage that's, you know, been placed around there. And if it dies off, well, it can provide you a sitting place. And so don't think that the world isn't back to normal. It's what you do with it is how, you know, we can all approach that subject matter. The kids, they can still play the good old-fashioned game called hopscotch. That is so much fun, and they don't have to touch each other. If you have them to learn the art of practicing social distancing. And there are other inventive ways that you can create little games. And if you don't have a particular board game, there are other little games that I can recall playing even as a child. Some adults can play it too if they go about it in an adult way and still enjoy themselves. You know, be creative. Get adult coloring books, you know, the ones that you can fill in by color coding and or other types of things. You can really learn how to entertain yourself if you haven't had a book in a while, maybe your eyesight isn't the best. Well, if you get the books with the large print, like the size 14 print on up, it used to be Times Roman, but, you know, you get rid of what they call the hanging indentation, serifs. They're just, you know, plain block letters. Sometimes those are available. They're fabulous. Some people are good at crossword puzzles. Just get your own personal book, and maybe you'll have a race to the finish when you start and finish, and whoever wins. Maybe they have to buy the other one an ice cream cone. Yeah, well, yes, an ice cream cone. It, just be creative. You don't have to have a whole lot of money. And enjoy each other's life. And remember, regardless of how bad some people are, just remember there's somebody else out there who's going to appreciate you. And we always know God loves you. And it's always good to meet good people. So God bless you, and you have a wonderful night. I'll see you next month, hopefully with something reportable, like maybe the stimulus check finally get vote. And don't forget to vote. Please don't forget to vote. Not vote the way I find it be necessary. Don't let the differences in the parties discourage you. I know that sometimes behavior can influence your attitude. Find out what's beneficial to you. Do you want to have the student loans overturned because there's so many massive student loans out there so you can get a good job when the time comes? Tell people about the student loans, because even if you don't get a chance to go to school full-time, if you say, well, you've got some courses under your belt that you can use equatable. Don't let society give you the impression you got to get out here and fulfill student loans that you didn't even get a chance to not only use, but not get a chance to be able to fulfill the program itself. Student loans are just for college-level people. They're for people of other vocations. Be careful about those vocational schools, though. Some people have definitely ran out on people after taking all that they could from them. Don't be so fast to get loans. If you have to take it the short way, go half-time, and work part-time, help your family other ways, do some volunteerism to build up your resume. Take my advice, and believe me, help yourself, because out here in the much hell and mayhem, God bless you. Be careful how you vote. Vote for what's sensible, not for a whole bunch of rhetoric. If you want to vote because you get your stimulus, just be careful. Greed can sometimes take advantage of what could happen for you and not against you. And I hope that you all don't vote against the stimulus, because after all, you do need some help, just like the next person. God bless you and have a good night. Thank you.
Jesus bless.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never want to see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.